Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit rap for power? You sumbitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power, black power. This is Sister Amira, the national assistant for the New Black Panther Party. And tonight is ladies' night, sisters' night. This is the sisters' night for the sisters. Sisters only will be calling tonight, I hope. Again, I am a virgin to this. So please, brother, sisters, open your hearts and your minds and please bear with me. Please be patient with me because this is my first night doing this. So I really want to call on to the ancestors to bless me tonight. I want to call on to Queen Mother, and I want to call on to the other queens that have done this, not just on the talk lines of Minister of Communications of the Black Panther Party in the 60s, of Kathleen Cleaver. I know she's not an ancestor, but she is definitely someone that I look up to for all the great works that she did with the Nancy Huey P. New Freedom Campaign and all the other good work that she done within the party of the 60s. I want to call on to Angela Davis and the things that she's still doing with our political prisoners that's behind enemy lines. And, of course, on May the 2nd, 1973, a day before I was Earth Day or blessed upon this so-called wretched earth, I would like to call on to Sada Shakur, who I definitely would love to meet one day. I would love to envision and talk to her and walk through the pathway that she went through upon the so-called racism, sexism, capitalism, imperialism, socialism, imperialisms, and all the socialisms that our sisters have gone through in the struggle. And this is not a night that we will be man-bashing. This is not a night that I want to down our brothers because we love them. This is a night for healing. So I need all the sisters to come on. I have one sister with me who is new, and she's bringing about the youth perspective, and I'm going to allow her to introduce herself at this time, Black Power. She's a little shy, so just give her a second. Go ahead, Queen.
Black Power, Sister Amira. I'm Ayana.
Just tell them a little bit about yourself and how did you get to the point where you felt at your age that you wanted to come out swinging, you want to come out and represent this organization. What led you to this point from your young and your youthful age? Because we don't discriminate in this organization.
Well, I know that I started looking and researching whenever I was in ninth grade. That's when I really started getting into you know, my history and starting really researching about Malcolm X and a lot of the great leaders that we have that came upon us through the years. I know that when I first looked at the Black Panther Party, you know, I was judgmental about it like a lot of people can be, I don't know. But I came back and looked at it, and I see the perspective of why we need a new Black Panther Party, you know, why we need an organization for, you know, just Black people. That's all.
That's all right, sister. You're just about as nervous as I am, which is great. So basically, with the circumstances that we have now within our communities, within the woman ills that we have plagued, that we have been the burden bearers of. By circumstances, and of course we don't believe in coincidences, but at the same time we have just gone through so much of post-traumatic slavery via health conditions, via stress, and via self-hatred, not wanting to be who we are, who we were born to be. And that's no disrespect to a lot of things that we have gone through within our youth and within our adult ages, because it's still a battle, it's still a healing process, and we go through and we heal throughout the years, and it still never gets to the point where we can just feel like we are free, where we're free from not only the system that blinds us and removes our children from us, that take our children from us, take our youth from us, from having to raise our children at such a youthful age and having to deal with just a one-parent household in some cases, not in all cases. And then when you have the stress where you may have a great brother that is there by your side, but then the stresses that he has to deal with in coming home from dealing with the outside world. So it's something that we have to really start, I guess, teaching our sisters on how to deal with the stresses from the outside world. I guess starting at kindergarten. It has to be started up on that. We have to start talking to our babies and start talking to our children and teaching our sons that it's okay to love in a positive way. It's okay to love women. Not men, but women will be appreciated. We have to teach our sons at youthful age about abuse. We have to teach our daughters as well, because it's not just the sons that have a potential for becoming abusers. Our daughters and our sisters also have a potential for becoming abusive because of stress and just Eurocentric thinking, and we have to remove that pathway. We have to begin a new pathway. We have to rebuild against these ills of circumstances. I know I keep saying ills of circumstances, but it's a reality. We have to strengthen ourselves and our thoughts and become one. We have to get away from the malice, and we have to stop having sour faces. We have to, when we come home within our households, we have to smile and we have to love each other. I know I sound like a tree hugger, but it's something that we really need to begin to talk about within our community. I hope we have some callers, please. Do we have any callers? Okay. But at any rate, sister, I just kind of want to get more of information about, like, what you plan to do with yourself. I mean, what is your goals within this organization? That's one question that I have for you.
What are my goals?
Within this organization.
To teach others the truth about how the outside world really is, and to gain knowledge also for myself, because I see a lot, you know, that, you know, you talking about and Brother Sean you talking about, you know, and Mr. Shabazz you talking about, and, you know, it's true, you know. And I know I haven't experienced the outside world as much, but, or really got to see, you know, how it really is. But that's one thing I would want to see, see too. No, that's all.
Okay, I think we have a call on the line. Let's check and see who that is.
Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power. Do you hear me, sister?
Yes, ma'am. I actually do now.
Okay, this is Aisha, Black Power.
Oh, Black Power Queen.
Yes, and you know, I've been in the movement for so long. It's and one of the things that I used to do, and I appreciate the fact that you said we're not here to bash brothers because we love the brothers and we can't make it without each other. And as an elder, I decided that I need to speak to the sisters, and elder sisters need to really organize and get themselves together where they are teachers and umis to the community. It's very important that we stop reproducing dumb. Sisters have to hold themselves in better esteem, and that way we hold our brothers accountable and we let them know that we expect the best of them. And when you do that, that elevates everyone. When the sisters hold themselves in better esteem, and we have to be educated and know about white supremacy and the syndrome and the sickness that it causes in us. But let me say this too. We have arrived at a time, and I'm a praying and faithful sister, and I've seen a lot of things. I've been a lot of places, and I want to say respect due to Malik Shabazz. I love him so much. I pray for him. I make dua for him all the time, and I'm always watching. And he is following Dr. Khalid so beautifully. I'm so proud of him. But sisters, it is imperative right now that we organize and start loving each other and helping each other more in this. We need to stop disrespecting each other first. Don't be going with other people, man. And don't let brothers lead you down that path. Hold yourself in better esteem and feed yourselves well and take care of your health, because if you're not healthy, you can't help anyone. Be keen on the fact of how white supremacy has hurt our people. You really must study and be faithful to it. I kicked the door in black. Let me tell you something. And sisters, you really have to check your images. I mean, I understand the stress when you see all this blonde hair and all this perpetrating and trying to be Bobo. It's plain out idolatry. And the Most High, the Almighty, won't change your people till you change yourself. Please, sisters, hear what I'm saying. And I'm an elder. I learned this from my umi. And one of my sheroes is Harriet Tubman. Study her way. That was a sister who had no fear. And before I close, Black Power, let me say this to brothers. We love you, but understand, no more fear. Because I saw fear in the faces of brothers when I was riding the subway up and down in Washington, D.C. And I really went out for Barack Obama because it was something that our sons needed to see, that a black man was bold enough to even try it. Don't think I'm blowing smoke up his tail. That's not what I mean. But the effect that it has on the psyche of our children. Understand the weight of that, brothers and sisters. Okay? Now, we still must hold him accountable as we did George Bush and the Cheney regime. Be knowing what you're doing when you're out here, and know that you are role models to the little ones. This is imperative, but sisters most of all, get yourselves together and love the Most High, whatever your high power is, before you love a man. Love the brothers and love everybody, and be real conscious of what you do, because the children are watching. And be soldiers for real. Again, I'm going to say Harriet Tubman, look at the example of that woman. She was gentle enough and loving enough to take the chance to lead the people to where they could do better, but she would carry a gun and shoot you if you slowed her down. It's that important. Black Power. Black Power.
Black Power, Queen. Black Power. You want to remain on the line?
Yes, I'm continuing to listen.
Okay, well, let's keep it moving. I'm going to take the next caller. Thank you, sisters, for y'all support. I must say, again, bear with me. I'm taking 267-632. You're on the air, Black Power.
Black Power, Queen. This is Queen Sheba, Trenton, New Jersey.
Yes, ma'am, Black Power. Thank you so much, Queen. Black Power. Any opening remarks?
I just want to say peace to all my sisters, Hotep, and that is Queens. This is a beautiful thing that we're doing, politicking with one another, because it's long overdue. It's long overdue that we as sisters get together and do our thing. You know what I mean? The world can't get no bigger than this woman. And without us leading the forefront so far as being mothers, as well as comrades and sisters, none of the stuff that we're talking about is going to work. So I just wanted to put that out there, that we have to keep this going on a regular basis in order for it to be successful as a black nation and as a black unit, as a black community. I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, let me first, I can't just let you ride off of that, Sister Queen. I got to tell about Sister Sheena, because here I just want to let you all know, I want everybody to know, on how Sheena and her king offered me and my king some great hospitality when we came to the East Coast. I want to tell you that it's just a situation, you know, how within our line of work, sometimes we don't even know how we're going to get somewhere. We don't know where we're going to stay. We just know that when we're called, when our national chairman gives us a call to be somewhere, we try to be there as best way as we can. So if we have to get on the bus and sleep on the floor on the bus, we will get there as best way we can, because that's what we're told to do, and we follow orders. But this Sister Sheena and Brother David offered us their home, their couch, a lovely, warm, beautiful apartment, and they did not have to do that. And I just really want to just give her and him thanks on this radio, and it gained me much respect to see her world, not just on the outside of being a Panther, not just seeing her, you know, in her uniform or her saying Black Power, but she actually made me feel Black Power love, you know what I mean, sister love, because she didn't have to do that. So I really wanted to just, I just want everybody to know that about her. She has a beautiful heart, and I really wanted that said. So Black Power on that one.
Yes, as a woman and a mother, I've always felt that you don't do anything to get something black out of it. You do it out of kindness of your heart, because if we believe in a spirituality, we have to know that if we believe in that, we can't expect the Creator to watch over us and we can't watch over a neighbor. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I've always opened my heart to my people. Even from little, before I became a Black Panther, I knew my destiny was to be a servant of my people. And that's how I see myself. So I don't feel like I'm doing anybody a favor. I feel like I'm doing my duty. Because it's up to me as a woman to set example, like the other sister said. You have to set the example for the sister to follow. And if I'm not going to open my home to you, I cannot expect the Creator or the spiritual person that's out there to open their heart to me and for me to be able to get the blessings that I deserve. I have to be doing this work wholeheartedly, unconditionally. And that's how I rock. And I, the people I roll with, that's how they rock. Sister Ma'ati, Sister Keisha, yourself, Sister Khadijah in New York. And anytime I'm in New York, that sister holds me down. Anytime I need anything in Trenton, Sister Marty got my back. And Sister Keisha got my back when I'm in North. And anytime we get together, we got each other's back. And that's how it has to be as sisters. You have to have an unconditional love. And if you have it for self, you have to have it for your sister queen.
Yes, I really appreciate that. I just can't express, you know, how much that really made me gain respect. Because it just opened the doors for what I felt anyway. And it just opened me up and just made me feel really good inside to know that someone else really cared. You know what I mean? And that's really hard in our community, our sisterhood. And we have to really start rebuilding that and healing ourselves and becoming more one. And again, for maybe the pain that we have cost each other, because maybe we have stolen someone's man, or maybe, you know what I mean, just things that we've done in our past, or we have hurt each other, we have stabbed each other in the back at one point. I'm just speaking on it as a whole. So what we have to do is we have to become one again. But it's going to take some time, sisters. It's going to take some time. It's not going to happen overnight. I'm going to take the next caller. Hopefully this is one of the other people that are supposed to be on this line with us, Black Power. 347-597. You're on the air. Black Power?
Black Power, Sister Sheena.
Black Power, Sister.
I was just doing what black women don't know how to do, and that's to stop doing and start being. You know, I just came in from a meeting, a nice organizational meeting with our national chairman and some other comrades. And as soon as I came in the house, I'm wiping off the counter and cleaning stuff in the kitchen. This is what we do as black women in Queens. We don't know how to stop, but. I just want to say peace and black power to my sisters and my queens. Sister Mira, you're doing a great job out there. Sister Sheena, you're always holding it down out there in Trenton and always hold me down emotionally and spiritually when I need to be held down. I just want to say I love y'all and I'm glad to be on tonight.
Black power.
We love you too.
Black power. We love everybody. I love everybody. I feel in a loving mood, but I just need y'all's support because tonight is, this is my first time doing this, and I need as much support as I can get. So I had to call on to all the sisters that I knew that would be supportive, that have been there for me within the struggle, since I've been in the new Black Panther Party, and just from on Facebook, and I always said something real positive, and I said, this sister would be the great sister to be on here, and of course, I'm right again, and she is. So I appreciate that. So I guess I will take one more person, and I guess we can begin. This number is 973-885. This next caller, Black Power.
Black Power, Mira, Sister Khadija, Sheena, and all my comrades, my sisters that's on the line. You know, I was trying to stay in the cut and not say nothing and be quiet, but I say she's going to kill me if I don't.
Black Power. Black Power, Queen. Okay, now I guess we got mostly everybody on the phone, so I guess we're just going to open up and just begin our discussion. I guess y'all ready? Be patient with me.
Yes,
I'm stumbling through these words because I'm so nervous, boy. I had to look at my key, and he looking at me like, you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to do this. Cause
you're doing good. It's great. Sister, you're doing right. You're doing great.
Good, sis. All right. So, I mean, I guess I kind of wanted to talk about a few things. I've kind of been noticing, I guess this, number one, some of these massive attacks, and this is like a massive propaganda attacks, I would say, up on Facebook. That's one of the things that I think that we definitely should talk about that. I mean, what do y'all think about that? What's your thoughts on that? It doesn't go in order, it doesn't matter. I'm sorry.
Well, Sister Aisha here, you said a massive attack. What do you mean? I mean, may I have that question again?
The propaganda war that's like really going on Facebook, the internet, and things like that against us sisters.
Again,
you know what I mean?
Well, see, you know what? Again, I must say, this is Sister Aisha again from Washington, D.C., and I'm an elder. I'm an older sister, and what I say is, again, sisters, know yourselves and know who you are before you speak and before you talk, and have no fear. Have no fear, because these are the things I learned from Dr. Khalid, from Minister Farrakhan, from Malcolm X, from Marcus Garvey. These were people from, again, my Shiro, my mother, my Omi. She's strong, but a gentle, she has a capacity for loving like black women do. But have no fear. When you see these things, stand it down. Let those who oppose you and the oppressors know that you know better and that you want to allow it for your children and your community. Don't ever roll over. As Harriet Tubman, look at the strength of that sister, Fannie Lou Hamer. Take the strength of those sisters. And remember how your mother raised you from out of nowhere when the sisters didn't have nothing but they made a way. Have that kind of strength, and remember that you can call on your elders. And again, respect other women. We are here for each other, and it is really, we are the Africa. See, and you have to know this and be educated. Be educated. And love yourselves. Take care of yourselves. This is the thing and the advice that I can give to all sisters. This is what was taught to me from Omi, Black Power.
Go ahead, Queen Shee.
What I would like to say about that issue is that it's proper propaganda. You know, people are going to come at us whether we're doing good, whether they think we're doing bad, no matter what we're doing. And I look at it all, it's proper propaganda because it puts us out there, whether it's negative or whatever. You know, these things they say about us on internet, I go to work, and a sister never heard about us before until she seen King Samir and the whole voter intimidation thing online. And it opened her up to what we're about. It made her want to ask questions and want to talk to me when before she didn't never understand. And it gave me the opportunity to build with this sister. Now she has a brother-in-law who works for Source Magazine, and she got him intrigued. So I'm trying to do everything I can to set up where we can get an interview for Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz to be in the Source Magazine. You know, so this opens doors for us. People are going to talk. That's how they are. You know, they're Babylon'd out. They're going to talk. They're going to gossip. We have to turn it around and make it work for us.
Exactly.
And that's how I see it. And like your sister said, I know who I am. So there's nothing they can write, paint, or do that's going to change my mindset. So it just makes me stronger because it gives me more ammunition to do the work.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It is. Sister Khadijah?
Yes, ma'am.
What's your thoughts on that, Queen?
Well, I agree with Sister Sheena. You know, the hell with them, straight up. You know, they can think whatever they want. They can say whatever they want. Dr. Khalid used to say, every knock is a boost. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes when people get out there and say stuff, sometimes that stimulates people's curiosity to be like, well, shit, let me see what they're all about. What is it that's why people so hard body on them? Why people so hard body on the sisters? Let me check them out and see for myself, because there are some critical analytical thinkers out there that are not just going to take what people say. They're going to be stimulated, you know what I'm saying, to want to know what the organization's about, what the sisters are about. So they'll seek it out on their own. And for those of them that are narrow-minded, you know, I mean, I say to hell with them because they just have a lot of work they have to do with themselves. And I think it also depends on how you feel about yourself. You know, if you know that you're a good person and you know that you're strong and, you know, spiritually and emotionally and psychologically, you know, you just keep it moving. You're in the hell with anybody else say. You know, that's my position on that. I mean, I would say that we got to stop beating up on each other.
Yes, ma'am.
Period. We got to stop that. Because enemy is out there watching.
That's
the
right. You cannot disrespect
even
one
that
another.
Zuckerberg, whatever the guy is named, that owned Facebook. I mean, yeah,
exactly.
He may be glad that he got so many millions of people out, you know, that's on his social network. But I'm sure that he's monitoring stuff, and I'm sure that he's got his people that's monitoring what we write. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
And like when we're beating up on each other, you know. That's why we just got to, you know, we got to get it together. We got to pull together. And as sisters, we got to pull together, too. You know, we got to stop. I always say we have to stop that bitchism. You know, we got to stop that shit.
Right.
Just form a strong circle of sisters. You know what I'm saying? We got to do that. You know, the Minister Farrakhan said that a nation can rise no higher than this woman. And that's how we keep that at the forefront of our minds as sisters and as queens. You know, I mean, anything that we got, any disagreements that we have or any problems that we have, we don't have to air them out there before the world. That's what the circle of sisters is about. Let's bring it inside and let's talk about it. Even if we got to hash our shit out all night, that's how we do it. But we don't air our dirty laundry out there for the whole world to see because they love that. You know,
they
so
do.
We have to keep them by not doing that. You know?
Well, again, to interject with this, this is Sister Aisha again. Again, that's what I mean when I say we have to hold ourselves in higher esteem as
yes,
women.
Ma'am.
And we have to be educated and do the best for yourselves, because if you don't take care of yourself, you can do nothing. And
right.
And the sister said that. She said, stop doing and just be. You know, and my mother taught me, it's a saying she always said. She said, oh, yeah, a woman's work is never done until she decides she ain't doing a damn thing else.
Mm.
Okay? When you decide that's all I'm doing. okay, and let somebody, because if you let them, if you, you can teach them to swim. That's all you can do. And I'm going to tell you something. My imam, he taught me this about our children. Because I've seen elder sisters older than me where they just keep taking and keep taking things that they don't have to. You have to know when to quit, too, when it's enough for your body. And, again,
right.
That holds yourself in higher esteem. Know what your limits are. And, again, respect one another. Let a sister know, look, I love you, okay? See, and people need to hear that. Our children need to hear that more. Okay, and believe this, sisters, you're going to die anyway. Okay, so the only thing you have to fear is your Most High and in yourself. Don't be afraid, brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of your own strength. See, because let me tell you something, I believe this, that the Most High gave us this world. And the naysayers and the haters, let me tell you what they are. If you are believers and you read the guidebooks, they're the tares. They're going to burn off anyway.
That's
don't
right.
pay them no mind. Keep stepping.
That's right. That's right. Fear Allah only.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That definitely comes into part. I think we beat the hell out of that question.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was saying. So I'm going to move on to the next one. We're going to get a little bit deeper, I guess. Okay, well, I'm just going to go ahead and ask this question. What are your thoughts on hair perming and relaxing and things like that? Because, hey, this is a sister show, correct?
Correct.
That's right. Yeah. So what are y'all thoughts on that? Like the whole hair perming, the whole colored eye and things like that, the color contacts and different things like that. I mean, what are your thoughts about that? Do you like it? Do you think it's self-hatred, or do you think it's something that it's a fad that, you know, everybody tries at one point in their life and they're just experimenting, they're trying to find themselves? Or what are your thoughts on that? Because I know we've had private discussions like that. But I just kind of want, you know, I kind of want to talk about it right now a little bit.
Yeah, I think that some sisters be trying to hide from something. You know, it's like some sisters be trying to hide with the color contacts and the weaves and the fingernails and the. I mean, sometimes I look at sisters on the train and they just look like. I feel like there's a beautiful queen underneath all that fakeness. You know what I'm saying? You got fake eyelashes. You got color contacts. You got weaves where you can see the tracks. You understand? You got nails, and it's just all of it just looks so plastic. That's the word that I would use, looks plastic. And sometimes I think that, and sometimes I look at sisters on the train or on the bus, I'd be like, there's a beautiful, wholesome sister underneath all that stuff. And sometimes I think that they're trying to hide from something. They either try to hide from something psychologically, or they looking for something. I don't know. I would say they're trying to hide from something. I mean, when you look at all this, all of it is all fake. All of it: nails, color contact, false weaves. I mean, all of it is. And I would say that maybe psychologically they're just trying to hide from shit. Maybe it's something that they're trying to hide from. And in terms of getting your hair relaxed and stuff like that, you know, when I used to get my hair relaxed, I used to rationalize it, and I used to be like, you know what, it's easy for me to manage it like that, you know, because all I got to do is put some water on it and slick it back and put it into the ponytail. But when your hair is natural, it's, you know, you can fix it in a nice small afro, you know. If your hair is soft, you can spray some water in it and just, you know, pick it out kind of nice and kind of mold it down, you know, and keep your locks. There's always a way you can keep your locks manicured, and even if you can't keep them manicured, there's a way that you can wrap your hair. There's always a way that if your hair is so-called unmanageable, if your hair is natural, that you could manage it. You know, you can either wrap it nice to show your blackness, your queendom, or you could just, there's always something that you can do to try to manage your so-called unmanageable hair. So, I mean, my position on the relaxer stuff, I mean, there's always ways you can manage your hair. I feel that sisters are trying to hide from something. That, I mean, it looks like they're trying to hide, you know, from when underneath all that stuff that they got, that they're wearing.
Also, it's indicative of the syndrome. Again, we have come so far, and like you said, it's over. the top now. It's unbelievable what the lengths they go through. And it's, for me, I've come to a certain stage. It's idolatry in a big sense. And it does affect our children. Why is it? Now, we have studies on this where the children are still picking the white doll is better. We have
exactly.
little girls
yes,
crying
ma'am.
Over this. We and so, listen, you got to own up. See, and okay, yes, people have the right to do whatever they want, but you still have a responsibility. You can't have your cake and eat it too. And it is indicative of the syndrome of white supremacy syndrome sickness. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and it's years and years of being told that you don't look right, you're not accepted.
Mm-hmm.
But as
mm-hmm.
as the 21st century moves on, you don't have no more excuses for this. There's no excuse for this. Now I wear locks, and I've had locks over and over many times, and my locks are very long and strong. I kick the door in black, and the reason why is because I believe that it will help somebody. Because coming up in I grew up in the time where the late 60s and 70s I was in school, and I went to Catholic school, and the light skin thing was very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, and I had a lot of hurt feelings back in the day, okay? And I went through, honey, let me tell you, I went through the glam stage. Okay, and I got tired. I just was sick of it, you know, because people gonna take you or they don't. It ain't gonna listen. You don't have nothing to prove to nobody but yourself and your Most High. You got to teach your children and sisters. It is important that your children don't do what you say; they do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's true.
So it's very important that they see you loving your black self,
mm-hmm.
loving all of it. And I love the woman that Allah fashioned me to be. I really love it. You see what I'm saying? And I wear that everywhere I go. And I feel that it helps other sisters. It brings them along. And again, we going back to the previous question, and why we're here tonight, we have to organize and talk to one another. It's so important. And in Washington, D.C., I belong to a group of sisters, and we all came up through everything together, and we call the Woo Woo Sisters. So if you ever in D.C., look up Sister Aisha's, and the Woo Woos will make you welcome. Okay,
yes.
And we really, really, we our children play together. We come up together. We network. If somebody ain't got a job, we on the phone about it. Okay, this is how we do. We live this way, and you have to take this on. The 21st
mm-hmm.
century, we have no excuses now, children, brothers and sisters, mommies and daddies. I'm so serious about this. And to me, it's gotten to a place where when you see this on our own black station, supposed to be black, where every sister on the shows, and I'm not knocking nobody, I love you all, but
mm-hmm.
to be blonde, why are you blonde? Why is everybody blonde on the album
mm-hmm.
covers or on the magazine covers that's supposed to represent us? Why are you blonde? What are you afraid of? And like she said, you're hiding. You can't, and you don't have an excuse with me anymore. And as the sisters that are on here, we strong queens, and we about this movement, put your foot down wherever you go about it. Don't hurt nobody's feelings, but put your foot down. Let them know why are you doing that? You got the eyelashes on. Like she said, why are you wearing eyelashes every single day? Like she said on the train. What is that all about? See,
wow,
put your foot down and let them know, sis, no. Black power.
Is that the eyelashes ain't supposed to look like false eyelashes. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't have mascara, if your eyelashes are long, they're supposed to look naturally long. You're not supposed to look like you got false eyelashes.
Like you got curtains on your eyes.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's the thing now of looking blatantly false. The weave, the hair, the nails, like nothing looks natural, nothing is subtle, nothing looks, you know, like it's, you know, just a little enhancement. It's always over the top. As black women, we always look extra. And, you know, for me, it becomes just so sickening. I get embarrassed, you know, for some of us sometimes. All of us on the phone, all of us on this call, we have locks. And it's because when you know better, you have to do better. So, and with that, you know, nobody in terms of our family members or whatever, like they were into the Jerry curls and they were into the perms and the texturizers and, you know, all of those things. And when you come into consciousness, it's like, I can't do that anymore because I feel like I'm cheating myself. I feel like every time I do that, I'm taking a chip away in terms of who I am and my natural self. So for me, I had all of those things. I had a Jerry curl. I almost want another one if I ain't love my locks so much, but Jerry curls and, you know, all of those things, because my hair, I always had an issue with my hair in terms of it being healthy. But I never realized that it wasn't healthy because of my diet, because of I had lead poison, like all of those things. So we have to get in tune with, you know, our diets and our lifestyles and the way that we live in order to find out why certain things are not in balance with us. But in terms of all of those false things, I never had an issue with it until I started to know better. I just said, people can do what they want to do. If they want to spend their money, let them spend their money. But now I convict them. I say, come on, sis, that's not right. That's not natural. Maybe you should just try being natural. Nappy hair is not a bad thing. So, you know, just in terms of the conditioning that we've experienced, in terms of watching the TV and how our parents and our grandparents, or, you know, whoever conditioned us, that long hair is better, long straight hair is better than kinky, you know, short hair or whatever it is. So we have to start to do better, learn better, and start to chastise one another and not take it offensively when it's not right and it's not natural.
I recall, and I can recall a time when I had a teacher, an instructor. Her name was Mrs. Hade, I think her name was. And she had really long locks. They were all the way down to her, like, ankle. I mean, they were that long, but she, you know, kept it wrapped up. And she always wore elegant African garbs, you know, to school. And I always, you know, used to kind of question her because, you know, I was rocking the perm back then. I was fairly young. And one day I just asked her, you know, how long she had been growing her locks, and I began to ask her more and more. Each day I began to ask her more and more about herself because she intrigued me, you know. And more and more I got to know her, I just asked her, I said, why do you mind, you know, are you afraid of being nappy or something? I asked her something to that level. And she just basically told me one phrase, and it's always stayed with me. She's like, nappy is happy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, your inner self is like the best self, and your inner self is the most natural, raw, deep down epitome of who you are. And if you're not raw and real and not crimmed and fake, then who are you exactly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I really, really took back, you know, and I always told my children that. I always tried to, you know, encourage them to do that. Now, whether or not they do that is something else. But it's just something that has been taught, because I know when I was growing up, my mother didn't want to really deal with my hair, and she began to perm it, and, you know, and then everybody else was wearing their hair perms, so that was the thing back then. You know, that was the thing in the 80s. You know, I'm a 70s baby. So that was the thing that, you know, my mother encouraged, and, you know, my other relatives, I guess. And then they would be like, oh, it just takes too much to do your hair. You got too much, a hair full of hair. And then I recall going to this, I remember I just got to a level where I just got tired of my hair. I'm telling you, I got tired of it. I had long perms. A huge long perm, okay? And I just, one day, I went into the particular cosmetologist person I had was doing my hair. She was doing my hair. And she began to press, and I guess she forgot and started doing something else, and she took all my hair out. And I just looked at her, and I wasn't even angry with her. I'm telling you, it felt relief, and I thanked her. And then I just cut it off, and I just had like a little small afro for a little while, and then I began to grow locks. I was like, I'm going to commit to this. So it was a healing process, and once I shedded it, it just made me feel so, woof, just so relieved and so wonderful and so beautiful, even though I had those big ears. You know what I mean? I didn't care. I said, look at these big ears. I didn't care. I just kept it moving. And I wasn't ashamed anymore of having that nappy hair. And I began to think back to Mrs. Hade.
Yeah, it was free.
Nappy is happy. Nappy is happy. And I was saying that to myself. And my father looked at me like, what the hell you do, Greg? You don't cut off all your hair. And I just was like, Daddy, nappy is happy. And he said, you sure right. But them ears sticking out, though. So, you know, y'all can continue.
Well,
Black I just Power. Had to tell that story. Black Power.
Black Power, Queen Sheba again. I just want to add on by saying, you know, it's a Willie Lynch syndrome. It's a slave syndrome. We were took into the slave houses and made to believe that the whiter was the best. You know, the straighter was the best.
Mm-hmm.
The light was the best. And we have not grown from that. We have a lot of sisters who don't like being dark-skinned. We have a lot of sisters who don't want their hair nappy because they don't feel beautiful enough. And
yep.
then you have images on TV who perpetrate that. You know, I love Beyonce to death, but look at her. Look at Little Kim. Look at Nicki Minaj. I mean, our sisters don't want to be ourselves because of what they look up to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're stronger in our role. So they can understand that being black and being nappy is powerful. So that's why every day I dress cultural as I can. I wear natural hair. I wear natural nails. I might wear eyeliner, but I'll go get an organic one. I won't wear any foundation. I won't put on any contact. I don't do anything like that. I use all natural body products and skin products. And I teach it to my daughter and I teach it to my sisters, whether they grab on right now or not. They remember it because sometimes they'll say to me, Mom, guess what this product I seen, you might like it. It doesn't have no lye in it. It doesn't have this. So that shows me they're paying attention. Even though my sister perms her hair, she'll come to me and say, you know, I found a perm today that doesn't have this. It's all natural. So, it's you know, she's catching on. It's going to take time because it took 500 years to get to this point.
Absolutely.
So we have to be patient with our sisters. And we have to be that example of naturalness and culture to get them to start saying, okay, why does that sister look like that every day? You know, I had a Caucasian woman today when I'm at the plantation, I call it, at work. She's looking at
yes,
me.
Yes, indeed.
She's looking at me and she said, oh my God, you're so beautiful. I mean, your hair, is it real? Because she's so in belief that all we do is wear weaves.
Mm-hmm.
She had the nerve mm-hmm. to ask if I wash it. She said, do you wash
it? I get that all the time.
Do you wash weaves? But she just couldn't
they
believe
touch, and then they go to want to touch our head. I'd be like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm just getting ready to say the same thing. I'd be like, no, don't touch it.
Mm-mm. No, nobody can touch my hair but my king.
That's transferring
nope.
energy.
Mm-hmm. And I stopped wearing locks so long ago that back, you know, more and more of our sisters are becoming natural, and you can see it all over the place from when I started out so many years ago. And I'll tell you something, that's a beautiful thing, and it's because of sisters like us that is catching. And they're getting to understand that it's detrimental to their health. And it's not only detrimental to their physical health, it's detrimental to your mental health to continue this and try to keep up with it all the time. And to point out those images, that's what I'm saying. Why are they blonde? We have to put our foot down about it. We have to organize about it. We have to be more vocal about it. And not to hurt anyone's feelings, not to be rude, but it is our right to say what is wrong with being who you are.
Mm-hmm.
We have to say that. We have to do this now because, listen, we've moved into the 21st century. There is no need for fear. You're going to die anyway. We have to teach our children that. You're going to die anyway. Die being you and being happy about it.
That's right.
That's
loving
true.
Who you
that
are.
That is true.
I mean, really, we as sisters, and again, like I said, I belong to the Woo Woo Sisters in Washington, D.C., and if you ever by here, we'll make you welcome because we live this way. And we make sure that our children know one another and that it's okay to be beautiful in your black self.
That's right.
It is.
Sister Ayana has been so quiet. We got the youth on the phone. We want her to explain this and how she feels about this. Go on, queen.
Yes, ma'am. I just started going locks recently because I got tired of.
What's your name?
Ayana.
Oh, peace, queen.
Yes, what?
She's
but,
new to the party.
No.
But you know, and I started because I got tired of, you know, getting my hair done, and it took a long time for my mama to, you know, finally give me that chance to do it because she didn't want me to do it. For a long time, she didn't want me to lock my hair, and I still don't know why she didn't want me to do it. But, you know, she finally changed her mind, said, go ahead, do it. And now I'm happy personally with it. But I know the first day I came to school with my hair different, like all twisted and stuff, I had a lot of people, you know, being judgmental and stuff. And I'm like, it's nothing wrong with showing, just like a lot of y'all were saying, it's nothing wrong with showing that you, you know, who you are. It's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
A lot of judgment, you know, because, and right now I'm the only one that really see it, that really show who I am. Like, I go to school every day, well, not every day, but a lot of times. You know, I have my little necklaces and my hats, and, you know, I represent who I am, and I show who I am, you know. I'm one of the only people that really do that. People be like, oh, are you Jamaican, or are you this, or are you that? I'm like, no, I'm just representing that I'm, you know, I'm African.
Right.
And they be like, oh, Ayana, you know, you're not African, you're not this, you're not that. You know, one teacher even called me ignorant because I said that I was African, you know, and I showed my pride. You know, I'm not afraid to do that.
Black power.
Black power.
Yes. And that's a beautiful thing. I'm very proud of you, sister, and you're a shining star, and it will catch, because this is what I've seen. People have to be brave enough to be the leaders in things. And I'm just so proud of you, sisters, because it's very important for the children who are watching, the little ones are watching us, and it is our responsibility.
That's right. But it goes so deeper than just, I guess, the nails, the fake nails and the fake eyeballs. But it does start there. It's just like once you release all of that, you begin to really see who you are underneath all that cover and what you're covering up and all the insecurities, the self-hatred and the, you know what I mean, and all the ills that we have to face and the imperfections, and we have to deal with that. And imperfections is not always what we really think is imperfections. Is really a positive point. Like, you know, when I was growing up, the big lips, you know, because I have big lips, and they would always call me Big Lip Jones, you know what I mean, just Jonin. And I began, you know, and I was so, I guess, insecure about that. But then after a while, it's like I'm looking at now, these white women got Botox, big old lips. They look crazy, crazy as hell. And it's something that, you know, we have to really, you know, embrace. We have to start teaching our grandchildren. So I have a grandson. And we have to start beginning to teaching our children's children and our children and children that we see on the streets that may not be our blood children, but they are our children because we're the mothers of the civilizations. And we
exactly.
all each individually are. And the ones that's listening, all of our sisters are. And we have to really begin to bring back that love again and back to that healing. And I don't know, it's just something that this conversation is really making me think about the effects that, you know, I have had on different people within my life, you know what I mean, and how we, you know, it just, everything hasn't been positive. And I'm really thinking about just trying to atone with everything because I'm at a different and a positive state in my life, finally, you know what I mean? After, you know, 30-something-odd years, I feel differently about what I thought about yesterday than what I think about today. You know what I mean? So, and then the whole thing of covering up, you know, is something that we need to, I think we should discuss that, too. What are your thoughts about covering up?
Girl, that's one of my things, man. I can't take to see these sisters the way they got their cleavage showing, their lower butt showing. That, I mean, it's unbelievable. And some of the sisters I see on the train, they be fixing their blouse so it can show more. And I will never forget, I think I've often told this story. There was this one sister, she was walking on 125th Street in front of me with her man. And her pants were so low that you could see the beginning of her crack. And she also had a tattoo on her lower back. And I told her, I said, sister, you're beautiful. But I said, you don't need to be showing everybody. You need to pull your pants up because you can see the beginning of your crack. Now, every sister that I've told that to, they'd be like, okay, thank you. You know, I don't think they're really going to do anything to change it, but they'd be like, okay, thanks. But this sister blasted me. She was like, well, you must be gay. Well, you shouldn't even be looking there. I said, well, first of all, let me tell you, I'm strictly dickly. I'm not gay. I said, and you're right in front of me, and your man is right there. He should not even be allowing you to be walking the street, that part of your body, only he should be able to see your tattoo, not the world. So I can't stand to see sisters that's got tight pants on where you can see everything. You can see that, I mean, you can just about see, and I know that they feel it. I know they feel the air going down their spine. I know they can feel, you know, like when it's cold, the air going down their cleavage. I mean, it's like, and it just, I mean, oftentimes comrades would tell me, sister, listen, just leave them alone. They know how they're looking. They got a full-length mirror in their hand when they get dressed. And even though that may be true, I feel obligated to tell them. I see sisters out there that showing themselves, and you can see that. I just got to tell them, I'll be like, sister, I mean, even if I just do it like, sister, pull your pants up. You can see your crack, and they'll laugh and go, okay, thanks. But I can't take that, sister. I tell you, that's like one of my, I just can't take it. And it takes a lot of restraint for me not to say nothing to them. It takes a lot of restraint for me not to say anything. Sometimes people just got to be like, Khadijah, just leave them. Let it go. And I'd be like, you know.
No, but your name is Khadijah. You can't do it. You can't do it.
I mean, I try, but I'm like, some of my comrades have been like, sister, leave them alone. They know what they're doing. They feel that air going down their pants. They know what they're doing. You can't change them. And maybe I may not be able to change all the sisters the way they think, but, I mean, if I could just make one sister think about how she, her tattoo that's on her lower back, how the world don't need to see that. Only her man or her husband should see that. If I could just make her think, if I could just make one sister think about that, about how she's like, when it's like 10 degrees outside with no scarf on, you got to feel cold. You got to, but you're doing that because you want the world to see. And that makes me think about how you really feel about yourself. Do you feel that you got to do that to catch? And a lot of these brothers, I've spoken to at least a couple of brothers who don't like that. And I've told these so-called righteous brothers, what you need to do is get out here with some other brothers, like a circle of brothers, and tell these sisters that they don't need to be showing themselves, because a lot of the reasons why they dress like that is for y'all. So if y'all get out there and tell them, look, y'all are beautiful, y'all queens, y'all don't need to show, I bet you that they'll stop, or at least the majority of them will stop dressing like that, unless they got some other psychological pathology that we don't know about, like a low self-esteem or some other stuff that's where the circle of sisters come in. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, sisters, that drives me the fuck crazy. I can't, that drives me crazy.
Well, see, that, I think the sister, that's, again, as an omi and a grandmother and an elder, again, we moved into a time where these things are permissive. They're permitted. And, again, as sisters and as mothers of the civilization and of the universe, it is your responsibility. Don't feel bad about it. And, again, we're soldiers, aren't we? And we have to do that. You have to, you know, use common sense. But, again, it does start with your own nieces and daughters and the way that you carry yourself because, again, children do what you do, not what you say. And we do have a problem in our society, just freedom gone wild. You know, and all this – and let's speak to the tattoo and to what is all this about. Again, you're covering up your whole entire beautiful self. Again, it makes me think you're hiding. You know, it's a thing where, again, you're not being yourself. You know, anything but to be yourself. Anything but to be. And there's too much sexuality going on. And I have even gone around and on Facebook said to brothers, immediate, this ain't no pussy dick situation. I go hard at them because we don't have time for that. We've already seen enough of our children die. We've seen enough abuse and child abuse and too much sexual stuff going on and children being used. Enough already. And it's the mother and the aunt, and I am Africa, I'm going to say it again, I can't allow it. I just, the soldier in me, the mother in me, the Black Panther in me, all of it, I can't stand for it no more. Our community has been damaged enough. We're in the 21st century. We have every opportunity to see that we have survived more than any other people. And as the sisters, again, we have to stop reproducing them because babies, having babies leads to all this foolishness and mayhem too. Okay? And keep your daughters and your children close to you. Be serious about your lives. We can't afford to lose no more. And again, organized. As Chairman Malik Shabazz has gone all this time and go out of his way, he could be doing so many other things. And what he's teaching us is that it is important, and we are leaders, and we are the forefront. So organize wherever you are. We have to make a pledge and a commitment that after this conversation, we're going to take it on to our families and our sisters, whoever want to hear it. And those that don't want to, keep it moving, because, again, you can't, everybody ain't going to get it. But wherever you can, be on the maneuvers, be on the movement, be on this job. That's what's important about this conversation that we have. Sisters, be on your job.
Wow, that was a that was an earful, Queen. It was a beautiful earful. Go ahead, Black Power. Shoot. But I definitely go ahead, Queen. Go ahead. I'm not going to go. Go ahead.
To say for that, because I don't have much time. You know, I'm a grandmother as well of 12 grandchildren, a mother of 5. My oldest is 30.
All right, Black Power, sister.
A single mom Black
Power.
For years, I've been a single mom out here, not only mothering my children, but any child in the community that needed my love. And I'm still doing that with children, like I said, with my son's big as me and tall as me. I'm still helping them out in the best I can because I can't give up on them. I would never turn my back on. I don't believe, and once a child reaches 18, he's not my responsibility. I believe that it takes a village to raise a child, and we have to always make them our first priority. And that's how me and my husband are. You know, that's how we came together, because we were comrades trying to cover down on one sister named Sister Asada, who used to be in the ranks, a young sister. And, you know, it broke our heart to see that sister without the real love and nurturing that she needed, and it brought us together. Because we both had that kind of mind state. So what I wanted to say is that so far as how we dress, we used to reveal ourselves in Ethiopia wholeheartedly. It was a beautiful thing to show your body. The tattoos come from the hemp that we used to put on ourselves and write on ourselves. But it's been taken out of character. You know, it's been taken out of context for a black woman's body to be beautiful. People don't understand it, and it's like sexuality now. It's taken totally out of control. So being that it's not safe anymore to dress like that, we have to cover ourselves. It's imperative that you try your best to not be revealing to these young brothers out here because their mind is not right. They cannot appreciate your body for what it is anymore. They don't understand that it's the earth. They don't understand it's their home. They don't understand where it's where they come from and where their seed is to grow. They see it as meat. They see it as lust. And until we change their mind, we have to cover ourselves.
Yes,
I definitely believe in that and wholeheartedly, but we also have to get back to where is this coming from that we want to reveal ourselves. It's not a nasty thing. It's not an ignorant thing. It's how we were, just like the brothers tagging on the walls. That's what we did on the hieroglyphics. We wrote on the walls in the beginning. So it's in your spirit to do that. But we now it's supposed to be against the law. So all the things that we're doing now is nothing new under the sun. We created it all. But they took it out of character, and they turned it around and made it ignorant. And now we have to take black was rightfully ours and teach our sisters that there's nothing wrong with being a beautiful woman. There's nothing wrong with putting any tattoos on yourself, but do it in the way that the Muslim sisters do it. Do it in the way that the sisters do it that are natural ways of doing it. We just have to start teaching them natural ways of doing the things that's already out there because nothing out there is new. It all comes from us. And we have to just get black and take it black and give them a black perspective on it. And that's how I see it, you know. I don't want my daughter to think that anything she's doing always is wrong. So I try to come to her not always in an argumentative state, oh, you look ignorant, why you naked? I try to come to say, there's nothing wrong with you being beautiful, Queen, but you have to do it in a respectful manner. Let her know that her beauty is a good thing. But when we go out there and we bomb these sisters, sometimes they take it offensively, and they don't want to deal with us. So I try to let the sisters know there's nothing wrong with being beautiful, but be beautiful in a way where you are appreciated. You know, I can go anywhere in this community, and any of the sisters I roll with can go anywhere in this community and never be considered a bitch because it's the way you carry yourself that makes you that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to put that out there because I do have to fall off. And if I'm proper relief from Sister Amira, I'm going to ask you for that. I have to deal
yes,
with my daughter. In the process of moving, we're still getting ourselves together. We're transforming from the apartment that you've seen into something smaller because this economy is a whole other thing I want to build about on the next call. And
we need to build about that now.
we have to get some black economy going within the new Black Panther Party where
exactly.
We are, like Brother King Samir is doing, and putting
that's
that out.
Beautiful.
Yes, we have to get that. You know, I'm so proud of that black man for what he's doing with the water and the rice. And there's just so many ideas that a lot of us have, like Sister Ma'ati's been trying to build on economics for a long time, but it's really hard because we all have our own problems within ourselves, our households, our families, trying to work, hold down two jobs, pay bills. So it makes it hard. But we can't let that be the excuse. We have to find a way to be the people's answer. You know, everybody's getting laid off. I'm getting laid off on January the 22nd from my plantation. So I need to know that there's a way I can make money within the party and give back to my community. So
yeah.
I just put that out there that that's one of the biggest things that I want to build about on the next call is the economic base within the New Black Panther Party. I love all you sisters, you know, unconditionally. You are always welcome to call on me. My number is 1-267-632-8560. I don't care what time of night it is. I don't care if it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. You can call on me at any time. I love you all, and I'm looking forward to the next call. Sister Mary, you're doing a beautiful job. I love you. I'm so proud of you and your strength. You and your man
make a beautiful
combination. You're a beautiful asset to this party. You have brought so much growth and development to us, and we love you. And I just want to say black power, and I'll talk to you all in the next.
Good night, sister. Black power.
We love you, too. Black power.
We love you.
Black power.
We love you, too. But that's an interesting point. I'm glad she brought that up. But we need that in this economy. The way that this economy is at the level where, you know, so-called white folks, the devil, can't even get a job. Where they coming in, they job, and they leaving with a pink slip. So we have to understand that we have to be real with ourselves and understand that the system is not going to support us, and we shouldn't rely on the system to support us anymore. We have young babies. We have older babies. We have grandmothers and parents that we are still supporting and trying to feed ourselves. And so, yes, we do have to become empowered and develop our own type of economics within the organization as well as a personal thing, because nothing lasts forever, you know. Nothing lasts forever. Like Sheba said, Queen Sheba said, she said that she's going to get laid off in January. And it's the same way on, you know, my possible plant, the plantation where I reside at. It happens. It's a reality. So what are some of the things that I guess we can try to develop, you know, that will keep our, I guess, our boat sailing, so to speak? Hold on 1 second. We got a call. Before you answer it, we got a call on 757-383. You on the air, caller? Black Power?
Black Power, Sister Peace. How y'all doing tonight?
Black Power.
Doing great, Queen.
Yes, I was calling about how we sisters can be together as helping one another. If whoever have income and you know, if you have food or someone need lights or whatever, we need to get together and have little things to different one houses and help one another to find out which sister needs something, you know. Like, if you have a sister, might have kids, might need a babysitter, you know, the ones that don't work and just retire can go and help the sister with babysitting. Or the sisters that don't know how to cook, the ones that's young, that's having babies, we can teach them how to cook, teach them how to clean, teach them the elder way.
I agree, too. I agree with that. And again, and see, and going back to what I was saying earlier, sisters, we already are organized in this. We're here talking to one another. And it goes back to the white supremacy syndrome where we think that we have to rely on outside ourselves. And it goes back to us being ummis and mothers where you begin to teach and show. And we did this before where we had fish fries and waistline parties and things like that. But now now we are educated women, most of us. And when you what we do, again, I'm going to say it again, the Woo Woo Sisters of Washington, D.C. This is Sister Aisha in Washington, D.C.
Yeah,
and my number is 202.
Okay.
My number is 202-463-8010. I'm always at my desk Monday through Friday. And again, I've known Chairman Malik Shabazz for many years, and it goes with the teaching. That's hand in hand. Economics goes with what we're doing. And there are fundraisers. And again, I'm a Muslim sister, and my way of life has shown me, Imam Musa, that's another thing, brother, sisters on the line, when you come to Washington, D.C., Masjid al-Islam is at C Street and Benning Road, Southeast Washington, D.C., and Malik Shabazz has visited there. He knows Imam Musa. And again, when sis, they go out and they grow things, they have their own gardens. We have a school there. There's a halal store there. And you look at the way of life of these people and of my community and go with the elder ways. It takes a village. So, again, as sister said, when you see someone in need, you know, we never can say, that's not my job. Whatever job that need to be done, you need to get to doing it. That's what we do. We serve. And you find ways through fundraisers, bake sales and all that. And when you get that money, you teach your children to have a bank account and know how to count their money and always teach that we are the mothers of this community. And it goes back to the top of our conversation. As daughters, mothers, sisters, grandmothers, we are the ankh and the anchor. We are Africa. And it is our responsibility to first educate ourselves and be happy and get enough rest. But look at the old ways and put it in play. And you'll find ways where you can feed yourselves. Network with one another as we're doing tonight. It is very important.
Black Power Queen. Hold on, I'm going to take another call. 347-597.
My phone had died. Khadija, my phone had died, so I'm just chiming back in. But
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm here.
Anyway, what did you think of? Did you hear the question on the terms of economics? What are your thoughts on that? I mean, because I know that King Samir has the lovely rice and the water thing going on that I think that we definitely should support for ourselves as well as the organization and him as well. But what are your thoughts on creating other economical programs that will, you know, that will sail the ship for us on an individual level as well as on a, you know, organizational level?
Well, I think we need to start doing that. I think that, you know, like whatever talents and skills that we have, that, you know, a lot of them give us those skills and talents for no reason. You know, we usually have those talents and those skills to serve God and to serve man and to serve each other. But also, you know, I think we should try to, you know, build an economic base from that. You know, like for instance, I'm a nurse. I'm a registered nurse, right? But I also have a legal nurse consultant background. You know, like, it would be great, you know, I could start I've always had this vision to have, like, an African-American legal nurse consulting firm. Now, there's legal nurse consulting firms out there, but, I mean, they're like, for everybody. I want to have a legal nurse consultant. I've had a vision of having a legal nurse consulting firm for African-American nurses, you know, and that's something that, you know, with the skill that I have as a nurse and the legal background that I have as a nurse, that vision is good. You know, that's a good vision to have and to get off the ground and to, you know, it's a way that you can make money and it's, you can, you know, you can do so many things with that. So whatever talents and gifts that we have, you know, we should try to, you know, to use them to our advantage and try to help, you know, ourselves and try to help our people, you know.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. If we can find more people within the health industry on the terms of, because I'm into the insurance aspect of it. So if we can get more people that are on different levels of it, then we can create a hospital, you know what I mean, within our own community. Because we had, you know, the Black Panther Party, you know, definitely had an ambulance. They had different, the clinics, the people's clinic. And we have to go back to that because we can't rely on these Tuskegee experimental doctors that are playing with our lives, that are using us as guinea pigs. And that's an unfortunate that we have that, you know, in a vast part of our community. So we have to really go back to trying to, not trying, I don't want to even say trying, but doing.
Mm-hmm.
We have to say doing, because we can't just make it an ideal. We have to, like your vision, you're a visionary. We're visionary people, and we have to go back to making realities, you know, in this century before we die. You know, like the sister said,
right.
Like our elder said, she said that, shoot, we're going to die anyway, so why not die being ourselves? Why not die and leaving something behind for our, you know, our children and our their children, and you know what I mean? Again, because we're the mothers of this civilization, so we have to really continue on, because the it's just somewhere it fell off during the crack era. You know what I mean? During the 90s and the 80s, it somehow fell off. I mean, we know why, because of Gay Gahoo, but we know about the cracks. We know about how that, you know, impartialed our and, like, brought down a whole group of people, meaning us, and turned us into addicts. We were all addicted to something, whether it's crack, whether it's heroin, whether it's some type of drug. We were began to be addicted to sex, you know what I mean? Not just to procreate, but just sexual, because sexual deviance, because we got to have it. We wanted to have it, you know what I mean? It wasn't no more of trying to bring on, you know, births and all these different things that they, you know, try to, and, you know, they do free pills and they do free tie-up, you know, free blocking of tubes now, just because they don't want us to continue on with, you know, bearing children. You know what I mean? We were having children all the way up to 50 years old, and now it just seemed like it stopped at 20. You know what I mean? And a lot of, we need to go back to having children again. We need to go back to continuing on, you know, our circle of life, you know? So I guess, I have a few more. I guess we have 45 more minutes, technically. So any other topics that we really need to discuss, but, you know, I guess health. We need to talk about, like you were saying, health. We talk about the economics. I mean, that's more of the issue we need to talk about next week as well. Because by next week, we should have ideals. We should have ways of actually doing and implementing these different topics. And, you know, next week, I want us to come with some answers. But, for example, like health care, like preventative health care, I think we need to go more holistic. We need to get more into the herbs and different things like that. You know, I'm trying to tell everybody how to eat and how to do their thing, but we need to eventually start off as vegetarians, or, you know, first start off removing the pork away, and then all pork byproducts, and then we go on from there to different things. And I think that will clear up the arthritis. I mean, studies have shown that it helps arthritis. I remember my mother first stopped eating pork a lot. I mean, her hands began to heal, and now when she started back eating, because I moved out of town, she started back eating it, and it just, you know, now her bones is hurting. And so we have to really go back to that, you know, of kind of getting our diets back together, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's something we definitely need to discuss, and we should possibly, all this so-called, I guess, technology, like the Internet and all this propaganda, as we were discussing before, we should be able to go on here and find different methods of becoming, of healing, you know, internally as well as mentally, as we talked about the mental aspect of it. And we have to go back to the herbal, the holistic living. Now, try to come close to it. I know it's hard, but we have to. We really have to, because we want to live longer. I don't want to die at 42. I want to live way longer. We already got, you know, all these issues and ills that we got to deal with, like walking outside of our house and being killed and murdered by a pig or assassinated, you know. We already got to deal with that. So why in the hell, you know, can't we at least when we die, we'll live. You know, we might have a possible chance. Like with my king, you know, when he went through what he went through, you know, because he's a vegetarian, because of his health, that, you know, got him to survive. You know, he had a better chance. Now, suppose he was like this big pork eater, you know what I mean, that just ate anything, then his chances will probably be slim to none, and he probably been way messed up than he is now, you know. So we really have to go back to trying to, because we're the mothers within our household, so we have to pull the pork out of our children and our babies' mouths and out of our husbands' mouths because they watch what we do. You know what I mean? We're the first focal point. Well, how mama feeling? That's the first thing they want to know. Well, what's wrong with mama today? Because the house, the energy in your house is just not right if mama is upset. That's how it was when I was growing up, and that's how it is to this day with me. If I'm not feeling right, you know, my whole household is just in an uproar because everybody's trying to find out what's wrong with me, and that's just how it is for the mothers of this civilization. Anybody want to comment on that? Ooh, y'all quiet down. Don't quiet now. Come on now. Am I still on the air? Can everybody hear me still?
You know me. I'm trying to get ready for bed and trying to do everything at one time. But I'm here. I got you on speaker, so I'm still chimed in, sister. But health is important. What they say, Brother Divine always says on Facebook that your health is your wealth. So if you're not eating properly and you're not getting enough rest and you're under stress, that's like putting a trigger to your head. You know what I'm saying? And in this busy world that we're in, we're always, especially as black women, we're always doing instead of being. We have to try as much as possible to eat as properly as we can. Now, me, I'm not no vegetarian, but I definitely ain't no pork eater. And, try to eat as wholesome as possible. You know, I think that we should try to eat as wholesome as possible. We should try to decrease as much stress in our lives as possible because stress decreases the immune system, it breaks down your resistance and all that. So as much as possible, we should try to eat properly. You know, fiber. We should have enough fiber, especially with the older sisters. You know how things don't come out like they used to. We got to eat more fiber. We have to eat more fruits and vegetables. We have to eliminate or cut down on red meat, you know, and just eat, you know, chicken and fish. You know, but we have to try on some level to try to, you know, to be healthier because we have enough stuff that we have to deal with living in a white supremacist racist society, and we don't need to have any other. We don't need extra stuff, you know, taxing our bodies. You know, so I mean, because we're in a war, you know, we're in a war, so our bodies have to be fit, our spirit has to be fit, and our mind has to be fit. So health is definitely our wealth, no doubt.
Well, yeah, that's definitely a thing. I was reading an article about a couple of days ago, and it was this woman. She was given, like, 6 months to live. She had, like, terminal cancer. I can't recall what kind of cancer she had, but she said that the doctor just basically gave her 6 months to live and told her that unfortunately she'll be dying. You know what I mean? And he was just so cold. And she said that when she sat in that doctor's office, she just felt like it was over. But she said she walked out, and then something spoke with her. She, of course, she was a black African, you know. She was one of us. And she said something just spoke to her. It was like something the ancestors or the creator, she said, someone spoke to her, and she could hear it. And she said that something just told her not to, like, accept that. Not to accept, you know, his diagnosis. You know, she said she wasn't going to any more doctors. And she said she began to change her spirit. She began to change her energy. And she didn't want to be around anybody that was, because she was an elder. And she said she didn't want to be around anybody anymore that said that they was hurting. Like, for example, she had a friend that had arthritis. And her friend, every time her friend would say, hey, my arthritis is ailing me, she would just get up and leave and be like, excuse me, I got to go. I can't hear this conversation. And she would just leave. And she said that, you know, then she went back to the doctor. She said after a year or so, you know, as it gone back. Of course, this was a past story. She's just telling her, you know, testimony. So she said she goes back to the doctor after a year and a half. And, of course, they have no found of cancer. They have no kind of cancer within her body. And the doctor just looked at her puzzle and asked her what she did other than, you know, clear up her diet, you know what I mean, other than start taking holistic herbs and different things like that. She said the biggest thing that she concentrated on was her energy. The biggest thing that she began to heal is having positive energy around her and began to feel better and good about herself and just exercising and wanted to get out of bed more and began to just start living and being, like you said, living and being. And she said that, you know, she just didn't have no fear anymore. She's like, and if it's meant for her to go, it's just meant for her to go. But she wasn't, but she didn't feel like it was her time yet, and she wasn't ready to go because she said she had to live and do a couple of more things. She said she wanted to write a whole group of books on self-healing, you know. So that was her first little, you know, thingy, was the article. So, you know, that's one of the things that I began to really think about, mind over matter. And we as Africans, because we are closely with the ancestors, because the ancestors talk with us and through us every day. So we have to really start talking back to our ancestors, and our ancestors are reaching out to us. We just have to listen. They're talking to us, and we have to begin to, you know, listen. And again, it's no such thing as circumstances. I'm not circumstances. It is, but there's no such thing as coincidences. It happens because it's supposed to happen.
That's
you know what I mean? What are you going to do now? You know what I mean? What is the order? You know what I mean? What is the order of how you're going to do it? You know, it's already predetermined, but you have to figure out what is your passageway. What is your pathway and what you want to do within this life, within this organization, within your own personal autonomy, within your own temple? You know what I mean? Who are you? You know,
right.
And we have to really research. You never find out who you are. You have to constantly study and understand who you are. It's not going to happen tomorrow. I still am learning myself. And after you learn yourself, then you might die. I'm not ready for that. Although I'm prepared, you know, if it happens, it happens. But we still have to live and live and live and live and breathe and eat and enjoy. And some days we might have to sacrifice and fast. So we have to go back to that because it's a spiritual enlightenment we're trying to do, and we have to go back to spiritual enlightenment because we have gone away from that, and that's an ancestry trait. You know, these crackers and white folks has been doing this for years because they, like Sister Queen Sheba said, they stolen that from us.
That's
something
right.
that we were doing, you know what I mean, BC times, so-called BC times. And we have to go back to, you know, potteries of our minds and souls and spirits because we're nothing without, you know, touching on to our ancestors and through whatever form. If you pray or affirmations or whatever you do and you with your own spirituality. Because we have a war. We're going on with a war, and we have to understand what the war is. We shouldn't have to, as warriors, we shouldn't have to, like I remember reading, a warrior said that in order for him to go out and fight, he had to eat meat. Nah, hell no, I don't want to eat meat to go out and fight, you know what I mean? I just want to bring it in a different light, you know what I mean? And we have to, I don't know, we just have to go back to that. And so next week, I definitely would like to have us to come up with some type of solutions. So everybody, next week, let's have pencils and papers ready and be able to just, like, really call us that call in. Please call in. This is not just subject to us, but this is subject to all sisters across the universe that we need to call in, and we need to have ways of, you know, entrepreneurship. That's one way. We need to go back to, you know, the health preventative and health, you know, maintenance, I should say. And we need to go back to self-healing and atoning with each other and healing each other as best as we can and stop the backbiting. We have to go back to that. And the whole thing of maybe dressing a little bit more modest as best as we can because, you know, it is what it is, you know. Mm-hmm. And we have to maybe have forms of how to do that, or how to be sexy without necessarily showing, you know what I mean, because some of us, you know, because I used to battle with that, you know, how to be sexy without showing the boob or so, you know what I mean?
You can still
so we
be
have
sexy.
To go and show.
With a lot of Muslim sisters, because I'm a Muslim too. I see some sisters, right, they'll have the whole kimar on, but they'll have on tight pants and in a short jacket, and I'd be like mad confused over that. And I'm like,
I always like to tell some of the most of the Muslim sisters that you could still, it don't mean because you're a Muslim that you have to look like, as my dear friend and brother Dashaun Farad says, you don't have to look like a walking tent. You can still adhere to the tenets of modesty and still be fly. There's ways that you can still be fly and sexy without showing, you know, showing for the world to see what you look like. You don't have to do that. And you can still be fly, you can still be sexy. But for those sisters that feel that they got to wear tight pants or they have to wear low-cut stuff or have their coat open when it's like 2 degrees, there's something wrong. There's a pathology there that we have to try to get to the bottom of that as a circle of sisters, especially if you do that over and over again, that there's something that's missing that has to be, that we got to try to help in any way that we can. So, you know, I think that's where, and you know, and back to our spirituality, I mean, so it all starts with just, if you just take time just to be by yourself, like for 10 minutes. If you got an office, just go in the office and close the door for 10 minutes and just breathe. No TV, no radio. You know, oftentimes we don't like to hear that inner chatter, so we like to have the TV on. A lot of people like to go to bed with the TV on, with the radio on, because they don't like silence. They don't want to hear that inner dialogue. But sometimes you gotta go to that place. So we need to do that. Like, just take time and just be by yourself. Get up in the morning. You don't always have to put on the TV. Just be still. You know, just be still, like, for about 10 minutes and just breathe. Now, you'd be surprised how breathing gets a lot of stress out.
Mm-hmm.
Just breathe. That really, really helps. You know, so.
Yeah, definitely. Yoga.
Yeah.
Different things like that. But we definitely, and then even like with self-talk, like with self-education and education of our people, you know, I call it PE, Panther education / mm-hmm. political education. So we have to really store back. I personally have to store back handing these manuals out to folks, not manuals in the New Black Panther Party, Black Power manuals, but I don't mean that. I mean other manuals that break down a lot of different things that we're going to need out here in these streets. So
yes,
we really have to start back developing manuals and definitely going into these classrooms. And the classrooms are on the street corners. The classrooms
right.
are in your home. The classrooms are in a restaurant. If you're in a restaurant at the mall, wherever you at, that's where the classroom is.
Right.
So we have to really go back to doing that. What they used to call it, pimping preaching on the corners or something? Pit box? What they used to call it?
I forgot to call it.
The soapboxing. You know what I mean? We have to. It was something like that, but we have to really go back to doing that because we're just losing our youth because we are afraid of our youth. And I'm not afraid of it, but some of us are. We have to start back snatching it up. Sister Ayana, what do you think what are ways that we can definitely help to grab the youth? Because, I mean, we grabbed you, so how can we grab more like you?
Just talking and telling the truth about most of the things that are going on, because that's what led me, you know, no lie. And, you know, in school, you know, I talked to a lot of people in school, a couple people, you know, that's willing to hear, you know, these things, you know, the issues we go through and stuff like that. So I think just talking and, you know, doing, basically.
So education is definitely something that we are somehow lacking within our community. And we definitely need to go back and re-talk to our sons about these tight-ass jeans because it's going to really hurt them up in the future for them to have children. And that's the goal of them, not only to look silly and homosexual, but it's also, like, really depleting their, you know, sperm and not helping them to procreate. And that's one of the purposes we're here for. And I know that a lot of us talk about abstinence, which is great, yes, when you're youthful, your mind is not right, yes. But I'm talking about when you are mind-driven and you're in a great place. You know what I mean? I'm talking about that. So, you know, of talking about tight jeans, that's not fashionable. It's really painful. It looks like it is because they're hurting themselves and they're hurting their future children. You know what I mean? So we have to really go back to that, and we have to really tell our sons it's okay. Come back home. Come back home. And we have to start loving our husbands and our men and the men around us, because sometimes we get into a mode where I guess we go through the moon cycle, and we get into a mode where we begin to become abusive toward our men, and we have to stop that silliness. We have to stop it. We have to have him to stop what he's doing, if he's doing anything. But just because of something that happened within our past to someone else we were with, don't mean we have to continue that cycle. Somehow the cycle has to be broken. We have to break that cycle with that new man, because that new man may be more empowering for us. But we're treating him like shit. You know what I mean? It's not going to work. And then you're going to lose something that's really great and grand. So that's one of the things I think we just need to talk about, healing also. And we have to come up with some solutions. And maybe if people can come up with some good, great books by next week. Of course, I have some suggestions now. By next week, we should really try to come up with some great literature and great points of how to create your own economics within your own household. And then we have to just go back to the natural form of things. Like, I need to start back sewing. I keep saying that I don't have time, but I really need to go back to that, because it is easing. It's relaxing and it's stressful free. And that's just something that you can do, you know. And I have a lot of time to think. So, you know, I do the breathing thing, but I think sewing is just as much ease. And I want to learn how to crochet and, you know what I mean, different things that we need to do as sisters to maintain our households. But I do have a quick suggestion about a couple of books that right now I have a huge library, but a couple of books that come to my mind right now. One is As a Woman Thinketh. And it's a real quick book, a real quick book. It's about 100-something pages. It'll take a day to read. But it's not just a book to read, but it's a book that should be absorbed. And he actually, and this book is also written for a man. It's called As a Man Thinketh as well. I have that in my library as well. We do have it in our library. So we need to go back to, you know, reading things like that help and empower us, that gets us back to thinking healthy, because we won't be with these ills. That's how a lot of times we get all these bumps and pimples on our faces, because we're so stressed out, because we're not eating right in the correct diet, and we have a lot of acid and a lot of bullshit in our heads that we don't want to do right. And another book that really empowered me, and I like to read it over and over again, because it lets me know that women, you know, strong sisters like Asada Shakur really, you know, loved us because they fought for us. And her aunt, who was her lawyer, wrote a book as well. Let me tell you the name of that. The name of that book is called Inadmissible Evidence. That's written by her auntie as well. And another great book that I think, as of today, that's not saying for next week, but I'm just giving you a couple of suggestions. Another one is called The Mother of All of Us, and that's basically about a Jamaican Mumu sister that they, this is a powerful book. It's Queen Nanny, and they talked about how when the she would be up in the mountains, and the white slave master would come down, and the so-called British would come down and try to capture her. And they said that when they would turn around, she would, like, cut them and stab them up. You know what I mean? It's like but nevertheless, it's still empowering in the things that she went through. So it's something that I think that we should really begin to study, especially for us people newly coming into the movement, but not just for that, but people that have been in the movement for years, because you can begin to tell, and you can compare your stories to what these ancestors and as well as sheroes have gone through, so we can continue on the torch, and we can begin to pass the torch, you know what I mean, to the youth. And not just to the youth, but to the elders, to the old, because I can't just count them out. I can't just say that I'm going to pass the torch to the youth, because the elders are still, it's a lot of our elders that are still holding down with the torches, and we have to continue that. We can't just, you know, render the elders out because they're elders. That's like some really lynchism. And we have to stop that because our elders are just as much as a part of our community as a whole as we are, you know, as children. And another couple of things, it's another book. It's called Vegetarian Times Cookbook. So it just kind of tells you how to eat a little bit better. So I just think that we have to kind of go. And Queen of Full books are really good on those terms, too, because she talks about spirit, body, and mind. But I definitely think, right, as of today, I think those are empowering books. So if anybody has anything else to say. So I, okay, we're quiet again. It's okay. I know everybody's getting ready for bed. I know we're kind of winding down here. But I think it's really, really important that next week we're really, again, I know I keep saying the same thing, but it's really important that next week we come up with some straight solutions. Because the listeners and a lot of these folks in the chat room are emailing me and saying certain things. Oh, someone says that we have to return back to African mother principle of male and female equality. And that is true. We do have to do that. We have to go back to that because it's really empowering to have a king on the side of you that wants to fight along with you within the struggle because it gets cold out here alone. And I'm not a feminist. You know what I mean? And more power to you if you are, but this is not a feminist show. And we really have to begin to empower each other, and we can't do that if we're just going to be raw feminists, and it's not going to get us anywhere as a people. So we really have to go back to that. And I love what the sister said when she was talking about Queen Harriet Tubman, because I read somewhere that not only did she have her Bible and her gun with her, but she also had like some smelling salt so the babies wouldn't cry. She also maintained the children because she didn't just get adults, you know, to freedom, but she got babies to freedom. Not necessarily her babies through blood, through the bloodline, but through the fact that she's a mother civilization. She helped to get free all of her people. She freed her parents, you know what I mean? And we have to really start thinking of ourselves as Harriet Tubmans of this universe. We have to, because if we don't, we're going to leave a lot of people at the waistline, you know what I mean? And I know I used to always have this theory that some of us just ain't going to make it, but damn it, we should try to get most of us to try to make it. Those who are ready to come, you know what I mean? Don't just stop turning. We need to stop turning our brothers and our sisters away just because they may be different than what we expect them to be. We should give each and everybody a chance. We should because that person that you may be knocking down may be the person that may be able to save you just because of religious beliefs or I guess color and pigments. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, because we all have that really lynchism in some form, and we have to kill it. You know, like Pac said, he said, kill Illuminati. We need to kill Illuminati as well as really lynchism. We have to get rid of that thing because it's messing up our community, and it's messing up our children's minds. And we just have to become more empowered and just come with these solutions because we need it out here. Do we have any more? Let me see if we have any more calls that we can take because we got like roughly like around 20 more minutes. So if anybody want to do a long closing, that would be great. Or somebody want to call in and ask a question. Or if anybody have a question in the chat room, that would be wonderful.
Well, Sister Sister Khadija, I just got to say that I got to sign out now because I got to get up at 4:30 a.m. for an hour and a half commute to work, so I got to get some rest. So,
yeah, I understand, Queen. I understand. I really appreciate, you know, you and all the rest of the sisters for coming on because it really helped me to do this show, and hopefully next week we should tune in and have solutions next week.
Yes, definitely. I'll be ready. Inshallah, I'll be
all
right.
All right.
So,
Black Power Queen.
Queens, whoever's still on, Black Power, and stay strong. All right, peace.
Black Power Queen, peace. Okay, we got another caller. I'm going to take you. Oh, no, they just hung up. Sister Ayana, do you have anything that you really want to say to the people? Because I know that you and I talk, and I know that you play shy, but we know that you are empowering strong black sisters that has a lot to say, that want to empower more people.
Well, all I really have to say is, you know, it's important that we sit together through it all, you know, us as a black community, Conrad, you know, et cetera. It's important we sit together because if we let anything get in our way, then it's going to mess it up. That's all. That's all I have to say for right now.
That's all right, Queen. That's all right. I'm going to take the next caller, 757-383. Black Power, you're on the air. Oops, wait a minute. Sorry, hold on 1 second. Let me let you on. There you go. You're on the air right now with us.
Okay,
Black Power
Queen. I just was calling, and I'm the one that talked about the book to go back to Africa, or the male and the female.
Yes, ma'am.
The main thing that we need to focus on is dealing with Most High God, and dealing with our ancestors, because our ancestors guide us through life. Anything that we want to do, anything we want to know, our ancestors guide us through that. They walk with us and they work with us. So that's how we make it. That's how I make it through the day. I'm a person that stay very happy, very rejoicing, because my ancestors guide me all through the day and all through the night. So we have to rely on the energy and the spirit and the power from our ancestors.
That's a true point. That is absolutely true. We do have to.
And
I'm also
a sister that I stay covered up. I dress when I walk out my door. I'm covered up from head to toe. I wear African garments and I'm always covered up. And I get a lot of people saying, wow, you look beautiful. And I wear no makeup, no nothing. I'm all totally natural. Nothing false, nothing. I go, everything is what I am.
Well,
and I get compliments left and right for that.
That is beautiful during these days and times for somebody
to be natural.
That's what
I'm saying. They give you compliments. I mean, I don't go out with my body and everything, my body all out and everything. I go covered up, and I get plenty of compliments. And I've been doing this for many years.
Yeah, that's absolutely necessary. We have to maintain.
Yeah, so only thing that we got to do, we got to, for us to go into the community, teach the sisters about, they cover up, they are beautiful, covered up. They don't have to, you don't have to show your body to nobody. You show that to your king's mom. You don't show it to everybody in the world. What my grandmama used to say, she said, if a man see what you got, already, he won't want it.
That's true.
And that's what my grandma used to always tell me. If they seeing what you got now, they ain't going to want you. They're going to use you and treat you any kind of way.
That is true. And we just have to go back. That's what
she told me, you know. So I go by the things that I learned from my ancestors, and I'm a person, I stay happy every day. I always help people, always try to do what I can for people, because we are all sisters and brothers, so we got to help one another. If one don't have, we got to try to give them something to help them out.
That's true. So next week I have
questions, like, that I want everybody to come with solutions with. And I'm going to say it again. But I have a few questions. One of the questions is empowerment. How do we empower our sisters? That's one of the questions that I want to discuss for next week. Two, how do we help our health maintenance as well as preventative health care? Different herbs that will do different things. Two, how do we heal? This is a two-part and two-fold question, but how do we heal our relationships with our brothers as well as our sisters? How do we stop looking at each other as arch enemies? How do we kill Willie Lynchism? Well, I guess that's a three-fold question, huh? The next question would be, what are some ways that we could begin to help our economics in our own situations? What is something that we can begin to do that we actually like and we'll be able to make money at? So that's one of the things I think that we should be able to do, you know what I mean, to come solutions with. And also, what are different books of literature that will help us to empower ourselves, organizational-wise and personal, local temple autonomies within. I mean within now, when I say within, but we definitely need to start reaching out for that, and we definitely need to just do different things. And any other, I guess, spiritual aspect of it, I don't mean religious, because I think we, you know, we do our, you know, we got enough, you know, of that. But I mean spiritual aspect of within, some different ways, maybe some techniques of different breathing techniques and how long does it take, and you know what I mean, maybe somebody can call in that actually does that, and really, and then athletics, you know, in the terms of working out, or, you know, this one sister, I think her name is Mayasa, she's on Facebook a lot, and she does belly dancing, so things like that, that we could definitely, some suggestions, maybe she can come on next week and break down how she started doing that, you know what I mean, and how it helped her health-wise, and how she felt, you know, how it helps her to not just empower herself, but helps her to, you know, to remain healthy and athletic, you know. So that's some things that we have to deal with, and definitely talking with our children, and definitely talking to our youth, and definitely ways of empowering our sisters to be more modest, I would say, as best as they can be, because, you know, we are all human, and we rock different things a different way, and that's okay. But we have to do it the best way that we can. So next week, I want us to be able to come up with different solutions, because it's absolutely necessary. And I know we got roughly about 10 more minutes, so I don't know if anybody else may want to call in or may want to have any other type of solutions or suggestions or any questions that they want answered next week. Sister Ayana, I know you said that's all you had to say, but I got one more thing. Do you have any other, I guess, suggestions that we can come with next week?
Not at the moment, I don't.
Don't be shy. You know you do. You was just telling me about empowering sisters within the movement.
Yeah.
Dead air is bad air, sister. Dead air is bad air. But, I mean, we really have to come with solutions next week. I'm laughing, but I'm really serious, because, I mean, we shouldn't be talking all the time. Talking is getting really old and dead. It's a tool that we use, but we still, these blog talks and different things like that is not just a key for revolution. It definitely helps us to suggest solutions and different things like that. It's supposed to be self-help, you know, and organization and organizers. This helps us to organize the masses and definitely gets people to pay more attention to different things that we're doing within the movement. So maybe we could start having more guests on that, you know, that have more training on entrepreneurship and different things like that. If we have suggestions for that next week, we need to come with that. You know what I mean? So if we can have, and this all has to be positive, because I don't want to be on a negative show, and I don't want people to be negative toward each other, because that's not going to get us anywhere. And we have to solve our problems. We can't anymore just say, this is the problem, that's the problem, Johnny did this, he did that. We actually have to have solutions, because we will be more effective as sisters. We've been more effective within our own local and regional and national autonomies, and not just within the new Black Panther Party, but in the Black Power movement as a whole, because we're nation building. We're trying to bring about a nation of people. We're trying to empower our own nation, because, you know, this nation that they have here right now is not for us. This Constitution was not made for us. None of these ideals, none of these ways, this Lil Wayne, Dumb Dumb TV, what they call it, MTV, Dumb Dumb TV, is not really for us. It's really opposed to us, and it's against us. So we have to go and have these solutions and begin to nation build. Again, we have 7 more minutes, and I just want to thank everybody for allowing me, us, not just me, but us to come into your homes. And again, thanks for not running me off the air. So I really appreciate everybody and everybody's patience, and as well as my co-hosts and all my other co-hosts that sit on this panel with us and the elders. I really appreciate y'all for coming on and giving me love, giving us love. And Sister Ayana, again, I really appreciate all that you have done for us within this organization. I really, really appreciate you being there, you know. So, again, I guess I'm going to have to, we would need to sign off, and I wish everybody a Black Power. And, again, this is an unfinished revolution. Unfinished, meaning it's not been finished. And the war is not over with. It's not over with. And we have to continue to fight in this unfinished established revolution. So I bid you well, Black Power.
Until the philosophy which old one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is